This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
People, are you ready?
All right, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2, we have landed, we are live, this is it, the first show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Guys, this is really, really cool.
Very excited about this.
Because obviously, you know, first and foremost for me, like, we're all friends, so it's great to do a radio show with you guys. Sarah, we met back in Australia when you were touring DJing over there,
oh,
and you're
no.
on my old an old radio show of mine there. And Doc, we met when you
I've
were...
never met this man before
Shush.
In my life.
That's not true. I met you in the car park toilets about 10 minutes ago. Don't lie at all. And we met in Melbourne when you were there doing
course.
The comedy festival. And here we all are.
So.
Here we all are.
Both dishing out musical comedy to differing results.
That's fantastic. Here we are live on FUBAR. Sarah, you've only just got back in the country as well.
I know. So it's
She's always on a plane, man. I'm sick of following her on Twitter, Instagram. I'm done.
Oh, dear.
Where have you been? What have you been doing?
Hateration already. I've been back for a little while. I was in the States in this last week, so that was nice but busy. But I was actually trying to remember the other day when we first met. It was probably like 13 years ago or something like that, which is pretty sobering.
I think I was working as a waitress in a cocktail bar.
I know, and I slipped you a couple £50 notes.
I hope you got fine. No, you know what, Doc? You've got the legs for it then, mate. I'm going to say.
Thank you very much.
You've definitely got the legs
for it. Yeah. Once I get the Veet on them, it's just...
No stopping you.
Telling you.
My only criticism is maybe your legs are too good.
Bit too good.
Too good.
Bit too, that's why we'll never live stream the show.
Makes me feel weird. Makes me feel weird in places. Probably shouldn't talk about
it.
Hey, this is very exciting, having Pharaoh Monch on the show.
Oh my days.
Heavyweight.
I know.
Heavyweight.
How cool is that? Well, I thought, you know, first show, we've got to set the tone straight.
We have.
Absolutely.
We have. Literally no one else has agreed for the rest of the series. But we've got
Yeah,
Pharaoh Monch,
yeah, yeah.
So. It is coming out of the gates pretty strong. In all fairness, it is coming out of the gates pretty strong. So there's going to be a lot of great stuff coming up on the show today. Brand new. First show. Very excited to be on FUBAR. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. And coming up next... Doc, a segment called No They Didn't. We're going to what's going to be happening with that, mate?
Oh man, well, you know, I think every week I just want to pick something out of the news. I want to try and stay topical, and you know, there's debates every day in the news. The things we're looking for are the things that split opinion, you know. Try and get our new bunch of listeners calling in, giving us their opinion. Try and find the things that are maybe 50-50, might go either way with it. So this week we got a little musical related one.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Ooh. We're going to find out right after Gangstar. Full clip. You're on FUBAR with Sarah, Hugh and Doc 2. You're on FUBAR, Sarah, Hugh and Doc 2. It's a brand new show. We are kicking it live. Very exciting stuff. Gangstar. Full clip. Actually, you know, have it just before, you know, you a little bit before he passed away. Mm. Very, very sad. I was lucky enough to interview the man guru himself.
Oh, yeah?
How about that? It was pretty exciting stuff.
He was a really nice guy, actually.
Yeah.
He was
a bit of a sort of, what would you call it, like a Londonphile or an Anglophile? He was always in London, wasn't he? He loved the jazz
cafe. I'm
not
into anything with the file.
Yeah, I suppose.
It scares me.
I know there's a word for it.
I know that it's correct, like grammar, but it's not like, ooh.
Yeah.
But I think he did spend a lot
of time. Full respect for the dead.
Hey, he's dead. He doesn't care. We can say whatever we want about him. He's dead.
He was a London lover.
Well, I tell you what, Doc. No, you didn't. Hey, talking about no, you didn't. Some for our brand new segment with Doc. Here we go.
Well, oh my God, like no, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
Love my jingle, man. I feel really flattered by that. Great. And it's exactly the right level of camp that I was hoping for.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
Hey, that was Kim Kardashian. She's not camp, or maybe she is. I don't know.
So, yeah, this week in our inaugural show, I wanted to throw the question out there. I'm sure some of you would be familiar with this story, but there was a gauntlet was laid down by world famous grump Noel Gallagher, who was reacting to the fact that Ginger Mopped Hobbity guitarist, singer, soul man, Ed Sheeran.
Oh, the Ginger Ninja.
The Ginger Ninja.
Sneaky and
will be playing one of the biggest gigs of his life, headlining at Wembley very soon. And Gallagher, out of nowhere, speaking to NME, came out and said, I don't want to live in a world. I don't want to live in a world where Ed Sheeran is headlining Wembley, which for me, a little bit like the Jay-Z thing at Glastonbury, it's just uncalled for. Like, your career is doing its
He's
thing.
He's just chilling.
Do you know what I mean? Like, this other dude's doing his thing. Your music doesn't really battle each other. And he's just come out and gone for it. This is the type of man he is, whether you feel like he's right or wrong. I'm not a particularly Ed Sheeran fan. But the way that Ed responded was to basically offer Noel Gallagher tickets to come and see him.
Oh, right. I was going to say, tickets for Virgin Atlantica. Good. Piss off to the moon. We don't want you mate. No one wants you here.
He wants him there. And I just thought it was a real kind of, you know, it was a hand of peace.
Yes,
where he could have given him, you know, a very different hand. He could have slapped him down quite happily.
Yeah.
And everybody would have said, you know what, justified. So I guess my question is, if someone's going to air you out like that, if someone's just going to, no provocation, you know, just air you out in front of a crowd, you know, whether it's in the playground, whether it's in your workplace, are you going to offer the hand of peace and try and dead it like that? Or are you going to take on your God-given right and get back at this dude?
Look,
is Ed Sheeran right or wrong?
I'm a bit of a manly man, and I'm sure you are too, Sarah. With me on the... Whoa.
Listen,
look,
Ryan,
if someone wants to do that to me, I'm going to go straight up to them. I'm going to look them right in their eye. And then probably cower because I'm not very well built. What can I say? I am in the right places.
Where do you stand on that? I mean, you support Noel in that. I mean, you a Sheeran fan?
Look, I guess like to some extent, sure, I'm a fan of both of their music to some extent. But I think like rinsing someone out like that publicly, especially when they haven't done anything to all the like, I think if you're hating on someone else's success, I think it shows you straight away where they're coming from. He's bitter and he's cranky. And he does things like doesn't turn up for child
he's
support
so
meetings so he can go to the pub.
He's
oh no,
so
wasn't
successful.
That his brother though?
Oh, his brother, they're both as crap as each
anyway,
other.
Anyway.
See, I said him out publicly. Oh no.
He is ridiculously successful. I just don't
but
really get
But that's probably
it.
Where it comes from, why he feels he's this voice of authority. He's earned the right to be the voice of authority because of his level of success like 20 years ago or something. But I mean, in life, I like to go for the kill them with kindness technique because normally that annoys people even
so
more.
So you think maybe there's
but
something
when
barbed.
It comes to Ed Sheeran, no.
Do you think there's something barbed in Ed saying, you know, come to the show? Is
yeah,
it something like
no, definitely.
Come and
smirky.
Hate me from a distance.
He's like,
I
won't hear
I like
your
it.
Heckles behind 80,000 people.
Ed Sheeran seems pretty good like that though. Like he seems well trained. I bet him say getting some crap for something he was doing. I can't remember. Probably being Ginger. Sorry, Ginger. But you know, like, and he was just like, hey, I am who I am. You either hate me or you like me. It doesn't bother me. I'm just doing my thing, and I kind of like that.
Yeah, I did find it really funny that Noel Gallagher just out of nowhere was like, hey guys, I'm back.
Yeah, I mean,
shut up.
Especially when there is, I mean, like I say, I'm not a huge Sheeran fan, but there's a lot worse music out there that is assaulting the eardrums every day that he doesn't pipe
maybe
up
secretly
about.
Secretly,
like
he's loving Ed Sheeran and
maybe.
He can't deal
like
with
Oasis.
It.
Like Oasis. That's a really good example.
like those three chords that they were playing for about 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
All right, well, let's open this up to you guys. You can give us a call, 020-3397-1683. I said that a bit fast. I'm Australian. Just going to have to work on this together. Or you can text us 07-8600-17300 or tweet at FUBAR Radio. What do you think? When somebody has aired you out publicly, should you confront them? Or Doc?
Go the route of Dalai Lama.
You know?
Go the route
hand
of Dalai
peace.
Lama.
Hand of peace. And also, if it is actually Noel Gallagher, what would you do?
Ah, I like that. All right. We'd love to hear from you. Take your calls up next on FUBAR. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Black Twang, So Rotten.
That
Gerald
is an
Fuba.
Actual bona fide classic.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Absolutely.
That's a UK classic.
Did you go
props
to
Black Twang.
His comeback thing.
And I took you down there and I took my parents.
Yeah. Actually, that was one of our first sort of play dates, wasn't it? When I came to the UK, you took me to see that. Play dates. That didn't sound very grown up, did it? No, it didn't.
How many sleeps till the next one?
I can't wait. I'll have to ask my mum. You're on FUBAR. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. It's our first show. And we are. Well, what are we doing right now, Doctor? What?
Hello, I got opinions.
Oh my God! Like no detail.
No, they didn't. Celebrities, what have they done now? What have they done, Doc?
Oh, man. So we just wanted to find out how people felt about Noel Gallagher just coming straight up and dissing Ed Sheeran just out of the blue. Like, I mean, this is not like James Blunt. You know, James gets pelters all the time, but he's actually become a kind of a cool character in the way that he just bats them back. In fact, he got gunned, didn't he, just last week about being too posh to be in music by like an MP. Do you know what I mean? He's like, what do you want from me? Like, just do my thing. So it's a similar situation, except James Blunt actually called the MP a snobbish gimp or something like that. Ooh. And really laid into him, like gunned him, swore at him, everything. Whereas Sheeran, on getting gunned by Gallagher, has offered him two tickets.
He was like, namaste.
He's offered him the branch of peace.
What's the festival that Ed Sheeran is now, is headlining, he's booked a headline?
Shed Aaron.
Some New Zealand festival or somewhere crappy in Wales. I'm from Wales. I'm allowed to say that, by the way. I was actually born there. So, yeah, Ed Sheeran obviously booked a place on a big festival. And what did Noel Gallagher say?
Noel Gallagher actually said, well, I mean, because Ed's doing 3 days at Wembley.
Wembley,
so these are the biggest gigs of his career. And Noel actually said, I can't live in a world where Ed Sheeran headlines Wembley. Now, when you talk about hate, that's such a hater statement.
Yeah.
But you know what? I bet that represents quite a proportion of the listening community at the moment.
Oh, yeah, I don't doubt that. And as I've iterated, you know, Sheeran, not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to come out in an interview. I know a lot of people are asking me to comment on this on all over the world.
Yep.
But I've turned them all down, Hugh. Yeah. Because I don't want to comment on a fellow equally successful artist's career.
Yeah.
Whereas Gallagher just thinks it's open season.
Well, look, Doc, it's easy for you. You've done 4 days at Wembley. So sold out every single one. So it's fair enough. But like, what, you know, obviously Ed Sheeran.
High road.
He is the universal nice guy. You know, Ed Sheeran. And he seems like a bit of a sweetheart. He's a pretty nice guy. So he obviously responds by giving him tickets. I think that's funny. What would you guys do in that situation if someone, just say you were Ed Sheeran, right? And that's how Noel Gallagher slagged you off. What would you do?
I'd just turn up at Noel Gallagher's house. I'd be like, what? No. Gonna say that to my face, though. Yeah. No, I'm definitely down for the kill them with kindness. Namaste.
I'd be really snide.
But it's tough to practice that.
I'd be really snide. I'd have like coded, similar to Rap Wars. I'd have very coded messages.
You'd release a diss track. That's what I want to hear. A diss track.
Yeah, I haven't had a good one for a while, haven't we?
Well, that's fair enough. Well, we asked you on 020-3397-1683. What do you think when somebody disses you publicly? Now that we're talking publicly, this could be at work in front of other co-workers. This could be
at school, at college.
That's even
could be
more
at the
harsh.
Bar. Could be any, you know, anything like that. What do you do? What would you do? We've got James from Homerton on the line. G'day, James.
Hi, how's it going?
Doing very well. So what would you do in this situation? What would you do? You've got someone slagged you off publicly. Do you front on them like Sarah? Or do you take the less aggressive approach like me, like myself and Doc, and send them tickets to our concert?
Well, there's a good way and a bad way to deal with it. Like, when Roy Keane heard another footballer was slagging him off, he turned up at his house and, like, knocked on the door and was going to beat him up.
You're aligning me with Roy Keane now.
Similar beards. Whereas, you know, handling Noel Gallagher's comments by selling him tickets, that's funny. It gets him good press, and it shows he's got a sense of humour.
Mm.
Like if you can confront someone, you can do it without being aggressive. You don't need to be horrible and like get in their face. You can, you know, be a bit funny, show that you can rise above it, and just kind of deal with the issue. And that definitely makes a much more sense.
Could you do like both? Could you give him a present, nicely wrapped present that's filled with shit,
or a horse's head?
Yeah. You know? James, poo presents. Yep. James, poo presents. No, yay or nay on the poo presents?
No, Well, probably not nay if it's a dead horse.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you've done there.
And James, have you ever been slighted with no real reason that you could see?
All the time. I think every time I've ever been slighted, it's been undeserved. I was trying to move my car the other day, and someone else had like blocked me in, and they kind of came out of their house and started saying I was an inconsiderate parker. And shouting at me and like threatening to like block my car in, and like what do you do there? Like you know when you see people like having arguments on the street, like that was me.
You were that guy.
So So, no, because I was just been chatting with that, and what was I going to do? So I just, you know, got my car and walked off. But when you've got, like...
So you raised your voice, James? You raised your voice?
No, I didn't. I was like, I just said that you're horrible. I said they were horrible little people and walked away.
Is that what you said to their faces? Or did you mutter under your breath once you were, post sort of 10 feet?
Oh, no, I said it to their faces and then walked away like a coward.
James, just out of curiosity, James, if you were yelling horrible little people, were you getting picked on by children? James?
You know, I didn't think I'd get called out on this. No.
Thought it was history.
I'd have to be parking very badly to look in the car of a little child.
Yeah, brilliant. All right, well, thank you so much for the call, mate.
Cheers,
and
James.
Have a great day.
Cool, thanks. You too. Love the show.
Oh, boy. Wow. Love
at first sight.
Love it, yeah. Love it.
Management,
first.
Are you hearing that?
All righty. We keep the conversation going on our Twitter. You can tweet us at FUBAR Radio. You know, what do you think? If somebody slags you off publicly, should you get up in a grill? Should you just let it go?
See, I think we all like to think that we would be like Ed Sheeran and be like, namaste, come in peace to my concert. It's all good. Yeah. But in practice, in the moment, if it is like James's situation where someone's up in your face in the street, son.
But the flip side
difficult.
Of that, of course, is a lot of people say, anybody said anything to me, I would knock them out. But actually, when it actually happens,
they're
silent,
the first to fall back.
Yeah. And what people have to understand is your whole world changes once you've been punched in the face. Yeah. I used to think I was something, you know. Mm. The first time I ever got punched in the face, my whole world changed. Everything changed.
Oh, wow.
I've always been very careful about what I say, because when your knees go, that first blow hits.
Wow, yeah.
You know, you reevaluate your life very, very quickly.
Yeah. It goes into survival mode. Yeah. Like instant survival mode.
Hey, do you think that was Ed Sheeran's way of actually being really, really aggressive? I'm so angry right now.
That's what
I'm
going
to give you some tickets. Let's go. I'm so angry at you right now.
Yeah, because you couldn't hear the tone of his voice because we're here.
That's what we call the Canadian approach. I'm going to send you a bloody letter.
In red capitals, nonetheless. Hey, this is very exciting. We are less than 5 minutes away from none other than Pharoah Monch.
Wow. I know, legendary status.
Riding right here on the show. Sarah, Hugh, and Doc 2, you're on FUBAR. Damien Marley, welcome to Jamrock. You're on FUBAR with Sarah, Hugh, and Doc 2. Brand new show. And going pretty well so far. Mm. Cruising around, having a chat, getting to know each other, having a bit of fun.
That's a beautiful thing.
What do you reckon we should do now? I don't know. I'm just trying to think of something really, something good, something really big.
Really cool,
maybe have a quick word
really
with like
cool.
a rap legend.
Reckon? We can try to do it. I mean, producers?
If it's possible.
Can the producers help us out with anything? Can we maybe, I don't know, I'm just trying to think. Trying to think who we could maybe get on the show. That would be really, really good.
This would be a good soundtrack to take it to the streets. See, James in Homerton. This is what he needed to deal with his road rage situation.
Absolutely. Big things. We are joined right now by the one and only Mr. Pharoah Monch. Hello, sir.
Hello. What's going on?
Welcome. Great to have you, man.
Good to be here, bro.
Mm. Hey, whereabouts are you right now? Where are you sitting right now?
I'm in Queens, New York, at home, in a snowstorm, in a blizzard.
Yeah, it's frozen
like,
out there,
stuck
right?
in the crib, yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I forgot about that crazy weather.
Exactly.
Is it literally like New York is shut down right now?
Yeah, they shut down all the bus service, all the subway, closed all the schools. No one could travel anywhere. If you're driving right now, you'll get arrested and so on.
Man, that's crap. Are people freaking out? Or, like, you know, did you get a chance to, like, stock up your cupboards with cans and torches? And,
man. I got in just in time. I went out. I got some popcorn, some healthy popcorn.
Organic.
Some raw almonds and fruit. And good stuff like that. And it's dope because I get to, like, zero in on a couple of pieces of and beats and stuff like that I need to zero in on and be creative, you know?
Yeah, man. It's interesting talking about the food there because, you know, I'm a very old fan of yours. And when I was a teenager listening to Organized Confusion, when I see your videos and your photos in the source and whatnot, there was a lot more Pharaoh Munch to go around in those days.
Yeah, man. Definitely. And that's a beautiful thing, too, because the size lent to the weight and the voice and the heaviness of those vocals. And I relish those moments when Pharaoh was like, you know, 250, like gargantuan.
But you still have bars, though. You still have bars. I tell you, to get nerdy for a minute, I was about 15 years old, 1994, and somebody, I think it was a friend of mine in the apartment across the road, he played me a song called Stray Bullet.
Oh!
And when you got into your verse, I mean, it was a sign of things to come. Obviously, the tongue-twisting style and having such an incredible flow. But the one thing a lot of rappers never seem to marry up is the incredible flow, the incredible technical skill with something that means something, you know. And that verse to this day, you know, whenever I think of the rat-a-tat-tat, you know, I always wondered, was it in relation to something that you'd seen, something you'd been told, or just generally what was going around, going down in Queens at the time?
Yeah. Organized Confusion was definitely a culmination of two art students who had a very visual and graphic a mentality on how they wanted to express their lyrics, blend in with just growing up in the hood and unfortunately seeing people get shot. You know, I remember these scenes and stories vividly. And so Straight Bullet was like, you know, really a true story, but, you know, vividly told and cinematically told.
And so, you know, futuristic for me as well. I mean, there's still, like, you know, there's still mainstream rappers today who haven't quite you know, spoken as explicitly as that on a record. They're still struggling to find their voice and say what the hell they mean, you know, and you were doing it 20 years ago. It's incredible.
Oh, thank you, man. You know, I think cats out there that are putting it down, you know. I think the underground is even more underground than, obviously, than when I was coming up, you know, because you know, that stuff was more in the forefront. Like,
yeah,
we were on,
yeah. I mean, is it fair to say, you know, like a Jizzer or someone like that, someone who was really doing their thing, a major label like Geffen in 94, wouldn't even get a sniff of a major record deal in 2015?
Well, exactly. I mean, and that's what we see happening right now. And I hate to say it, I should be glad to say it, in a ways it's good because it pushes a lot of artists to find their voice if they're trying to find their voice, for the ones that are out there and know what it takes to, you know, be classic. What comes from that is some real classic gems. And what's sad is the multitude of the stuff that is on the surface is not as good as what was on the surface back then, in my opinion.
I agree 100%.
But at the same time, it's like the raucous era, that was kind of like a pivotal time in hip-hop. It was almost like a transitional time. But the Simon Says record, like, to me, that was quite an underground record initially. Yeah. And it was just so ill to see how that broke through to such a widespread. I've got to admit, my mum has Simon Says as her ringtone on her phone. So, but yeah, I mean, how was that for you, though, like breaking through to
worldwide
such
hit,
mainstream recognition? You know, that's an anthem. Mm.
It was crazy. You know, it was my first solo album. So just understanding, you know, I had got a lot of offers from labels at the time, but I wanted to go in the lab and really find my voice as a solo artist as well before I signed a deal and played music for people and let them know where I would be going. And I was going out, sessing out the dopest MCs in New York, and a lot of people in my clique was telling me about a lot of the raucous artists and Talib and Mos. And I went to see Talib and Mos at the bookstore in Brooklyn, got a relationship with Quali and was telling him, you know, a couple of labels were courting me. He put me on the Raucous. I met with those guys, played them some of my demos, you know, because I wanted them to hear what I was doing solo. And they were in love with it. They were ready to sign me straight off the bat. And I told them that in terms of what was going on in the music industry at the time, that I could give them two or three things that would cut through, because I kind of understood the temperament of where the music was between, somewhere in between the Raucous and the Bad Boy era, and I felt like I could make something that would kind of fit my style but kind of cut through, and that would be Simon Says.
Yeah, certainly is, even
now. They knew. Yeah, they knew what it was as soon as they heard it. As I was making the beat, I kind of knew what it was because, you know, it's a deep question because at the time in New York City, we had a couple of clubs that was breaking hip-hop, in which New York doesn't have anymore, which is why you're seeing a shift in the sound. One of the reasons why you're seeing a shift in the sound. We had the Tunnel, and, you know, the record was kind of geared to, you know, make people actually turn up, which is a term that's used now in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to get people out on the floor and get people moshing and get people pumping their fists and excited, which is why the song has that big intro.
Yes.
And they were breaking records in New York at the time. We don't have a place to break records like that anymore.
Mm.
I just love the visual of Sarah's mom right at the front row. Right at the front row.
For real.
Farrah, mate, we would love to keep you on for a chat. If we can, we want to hear about a tune of yours right now, Broken Again. And if you could just hang on the line, we'd love to get you on after that and find out about you coming to the UK in about 4 weeks' time. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
But
right here.
This is from your latest album, PTSD, and this track is Broken Again. Let's hit it.
All right. You're on FUBAR with Sarah Hugh and Doc 2, joined by Farrah Mitch, and he will join us again right after this. That's Broken Again by none other than Mr. Farrah Mitch off his latest album, Post Traumatic Stress Disorder. We are lucky enough to be joined by Mr. Farrah Mitch right now. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh, and Doc 2. Farrah Mitch, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Phew, because that was going to be a big anticlimax if you want to.
He's like, peace.
Really glad.
That's a beautiful song, man. It feels very personal, man.
Gosh, and you have to see the video, too.
You,
the
man.
Video is beautiful. Yeah, what is the story behind the record, the song?
Broken Again comes from PTSD album. It deals with a breakup with the woman, but metaphorically also with drugs as well. So I use drugs as a metaphor for the woman in the song. Mm.
And that's kind of like a theme in this new latest record as well, isn't it? Like you're dealing with a lot of different, quite deep issues, really.
Yeah, after coming off the War album, we figured post-traumatic stress disorder would be a dope angle to come with the next record, but I wanted to make it introspective and personal and difficult. So I'm dealing with a lot of my issues with depression and due to medication and medical issues and a lot of hard topics to deal with, and I wanted to keep it as real as possible, so...
And I think,
you know,
people have appreciated that, and that's part of why I think you saw the PTSD album in so many of like the top albums of 2014 rundown and everything, because people were just refreshed to hear something other than Coco and stuff type themes. So no, it was nice to see people, but someone being real and really like revealing.
I mean,
themselves.
It's scary to open up like that as well, especially like in hip hop realm, to really, really be personal and open up about things like depression is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's really, really amazing to do that. So yeah, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Positive vibes.
But yeah, you're going to be out here next month. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're going to be back again. Me and the incomparable, incredible DJ Boogie Blind. We're going to be hitting Leeds and Birmingham and Ask Cafe.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I remember seeing you at the Jazz Cafe a good few years ago now. I don't know, it must have been 8 or 9 years ago. But what really struck me was, I think you came with like maybe one singer or two singers.
And
it was just like a real simple setup, but it was so soulful. It was heartfelt, and I just feel like you've always. I don't feel like you ever. What am I looking for? I don't feel like you've ever felt the need to go the way that the current wave of rap in whatever particular year is going. I've never felt that you felt that pressure. Is that fair to say, or is it scary for you to keep pushing the envelope like that?
It's kind of natural, man. It's like we've been that way since the beginning, and I think that's because I'm an artist in a true sense. Not that I'm making records, but that's how I see things. So, you know, and plus culturally, it's like, how do you add on to the music if you're copying and just constantly following trends? So, as an MC from that era, my mindset is just like, all right, how could you add on to that or push the envelope, so on and so forth.
And the last show in the UK, you actually had the live band with you, didn't you? But what I also think is dope is because you was always true to hip-hop and you got a real DJ with skills cutting it up, being nasty and stuff on the deck. So, but yeah, the live band element, like, that's sick too.
Yeah. We thought, I've been there to the UK so much, at each time I'm like, ah, shit, what am I going to do now? You know what I'm saying? So last time we added the live element, and we're going to do something different this time as well.
Nice.
Just kind of keep it interesting for the people who keep coming back and supporting, to spice it up a bit.
And people will keep coming back, and I'll tell you why. You know, it's really interesting what you were saying about your younger days in Queens and how, you know, you were an art student with Prince Poe, but also you had this hood side to you. Over here, you know, the major cities, and you're going to three of them, London, Leeds and Birmingham, we all share one thing in the major cities in the UK, is that we don't have huge ghettoized areas. We don't have huge hoods like you might see in the States. So our hood areas or our more ghettoized sections are like cheek by jowl. They're like side by side with money, you know, big houses and a lot of wealth.
Right.
And so I think there's something about that juxtaposition you've always had of being very artistic, very intelligent, but also being, hey, don't get it twisted, I know about this side of the street life as well. I think that really appeals to the UK. That really fits in with us, man. And I think that's why we keep coming back and we appreciate what you do, you know.
And also randomly, you mentioned, yeah, like high school. Is it true that you went to high school with a bunch of other, like, recognized hip-hop people?
That yeah, we would when, have? When I was in art school or in design, it was Percy P, Kwame, and a lot of, you know, graffiti and the breaking aspect, which I'm proud to say is what inspired me, because it brought me in culturally and not just how can I get a record deal, like... Mm. I was enthralled and excited and wanted to just be a part of that hip-hop movement from the gate, which I think is good and has one of the things that has kept me in it, you know. But also Prodigy went to the school and so many other MCs went to the school, and there is a thin line between that hood cat and that cat who is a genius artistically as well. And I think that's true throughout art in general. A lot of times you find geniuses come from families that were not so affluent and came from riches, you know?
Mm. Hey, how about this? Just for
not that I'm calling myself a genius.
Well, I think that's pretty much what I said. What about this for an idea? So, obviously, second last album was War. Follow up from that, Post Traumatic Stress Disorder. What about the next one? Could be, damn, it's really hard to get benefits as an ex vet.
That's catchy title.
What do you think?
I think this next album is something to be excited about. If you're a Pharoah Monch fan, it just goes into the gut and grit of you know, back internal affairs and the 13 era, and it's just really hard and dark. Actually, the persona of Pharoah Monch dies on the last album, and I'm ditching that name.
Oh, for real?
For this new project.
Mm. Oh,
gasps. Wow!
Any hints? Any hints as to what it could be? Should we give some suggestions?
We could throw that out to the listeners, see what they come back with. Speaking of like what's satisfying the fans, on the last album you had this ill track with Black Thought from the Roots, and even just looking at it on paper, I was just like, oh my goodness, I need to make a cup of tea, sit down, get the right speakers set up so I can listen to this properly first time round. And I swear, like, I played that like 5 times back to back, and I think the listeners need to feel that love too.
Let's hear it right now, Mr. Pharoah Monch. Thank you so much for joining us on Sarah, Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR, mate. We can't wait to see you out here in the UK in the next month. And good luck with the storms over there. Sounds like it's some pretty scary stuff.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, bro.
We appreciate you.
I really felt that. That was nice. It's that lucid rapid eye movement. Pharoah Monch, that one is Rapid Eye Movement featuring Black Thought. You're on FUBAR with Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. We were lucky enough to be joined by Mr. Pharoah Monch just before. Just during that song, I got an email from Helen from Weymouth saying, could we please tell Pharoah Monch he's a huge fan and that she really loves his work. Look, sorry, we missed our opportunity, but what we will do after the show, we will tweet it to him Helen. All right, we'll make sure. I've just got to learn how to read good.
Yeah.
Okay? He's got to learn how
to
read.
We'll teach him before next week. That's our challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. So look, I thought this was a little bit interesting. This one definitely sparked my ears and my eyes when I was reading today that yesterday David Cameron apparently was the victim of a hoax prank.
Oh,
phone
really?
Call,
okay.
Right? So apparently what happened was someone called him up yesterday and they basically they had pretended to be the head of the GCHQ. They pretended to be Robert Hannigan, so a big top person, right? And they got put straight through to his personal mobile.
Damn.
They got put through to David Cameron's personal mobile. He called up. Apparently the guy that had done the hoax call, right? Apparently he was wasted, right? He was drunk, he was on drugs, he was all this thing, and then he called up the Sun straight away and said, look, I just called up David Cameron, and I got straight through, like, the security's crap, I'm off my face, I'm going to do it again, and David Cameron has obviously gone, oh, it was a hoax call, and da-da-da-da-da, and stuff like that. It's easy as that, people.
Exactly, it shows when you have conviction how far that can get you. You know, you just like got to carry it, man.
Because it would have had to have been more than one hoax call as well, because he would have had to hoax the people to get to the next level of hoax to get in touch with Cameron directly.
Absolutely, because they're not going to just patch him straight through, are they? Like, you got to find, there's going to be a series of things going on here. But look, all I wanted to say was, the reason why I found this particularly interesting was because, you guys probably don't know this, but I actually know David Cameron. Right?
Oh, really?
And I actually know for a fact
I wish you had told me.
He is a bit of a party. He doesn't mind partying.
He's insured it every weekend.
So maybe not insured it over the weekend. But look, so this guy's called up and said, da 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 da, he was off his face, blah, 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 blah. David Cameron's been caught out. He's been caught out, and they've realised his call's gone through, and David Cameron's gone, no, it was a hoax. I don't know who this person was. It's all just a hoax. But it wasn't a hoax, right? Because I know for a fact that David Cameron likes to party. I know for a fact, and all I know that he's just check this out.
I genuinely know him.
I want to see or hear proof.
I do genuinely know him. This is actually, I spoke to David Cameron this morning.
Good morning.
Hello, DC. What's happening, mate? You free to talk, homie?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool. Hey, sorry if I seemed a bit upset last night, but my Snapchat wasn't working properly, so I couldn't see your last pic. Can't believe how flexible your cat is. That is amazing. Anyway, look, I've got a few issues with the party this weekend. Can we talk about it, babe?
Yes, we can discuss these issues.
Cool. Well, I guess I just feel like there's too many guys at the last party, man. There needs to be a better girl-boy ratio, know what I mean? I think we should invite more babes, dude.
I want an overall majority. And
whoa, my man, that's what's up. All right, cool, so I won't invite One Direction.
Let's make sure the single market is properly safeguarded.
Absolutely agree, DC. Who do you think we need to keep the single girls away from mostly?
From European leaders, for what I've said.
Done. Done. Now, we have to discuss the edible pantaloons, my favourite, and the cheese fountain.
These are the sorts of things that I want to see.
Well, me too, bro. Of course, they make a party. Now, seriously, are you and your mate at MI5, are you going to be able to come through for us this time? With all the, if you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Now, I believe I will be successful, and for a couple of very good reasons. First of all,
Yeah? Go on. You got nothing, do you?
I couldn't answer the question more clearly.
Another politician's answer for what is inevitably going to be a crap party. All right, mate, I've got to bounce. Look, can I shoot you a text you later?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, cool, mate. See if you get a chance, send me that Snapchat as well. I really want to see it. David? DC? I can't believe you hung up on me.
So doesn't surprise me at all.
You can really sense the closeness, though.
Look, it's just proof that he does like to party. It's proof that he's a personal friend of mine. And it's proof that I don't know what else to say. I wasn't prepared for a third proof.
It's proof he's not the man he makes out he is.
Hey, Sarah, so you brought in an exclusive track for us that we're going to play.
Oh,
right,
yes. No, because this week, I think it was this week, but yes, this week they released a UK group going by the name of Four Owls. This is like new mighty hip-hop collaboration. They have just released a song coming from their album, which is out on High Focus Records, and it's actually produced by DJ Premier. DJ Premier is like Amazing. A cornerstone in hip hop. He's like one of my favorite producers of all time, yeah. I'd have to say, from the group Gangsta. He's produced for everyone and their auntie. And this is, I think, in the early 90s, he did actually produce a track for a UK group called Cookie Crew.
That's right, yeah.
Yes, and I think that was actually the first time when Primo collaborated with the UK group. But he's back on UK shores with the group 4 Owls, and they've just dropped a track called Think Twice. And I think we need to show that some love because it is a bit of a milestone for the UK to be collaborating with the US in this way.
Absolutely, amazing. We're going to check it out right now. You're on FUBAR with Sarah Hugh and Doc 2.
Yes, yes, yes. Hip-hop coming out of the UK. That's produced by DJ Premier from this new group called 4 Owls. The track is called Think Twice. Big ups to Verb T and High Focus Records for putting that one out. Make sure you check them out at high-focus.com.
That was hot. Got the streets on fire. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. We're getting some emails in. You can email us on TuesdayDrive@FUBARradio.com. And thank you very much. Thanks, Millie from Horncastle. Am I saying that right? Horncastle? Thanks, Millie.
Depends whether it's northern or southern, doesn't it? If it's up north, then it'd be Horncastle.
Horncastle. Yeah, Castle. Oh, if you're posh, could be Horncastle. Could be. Probably not.
You could try.
We're going to go with not.
You could try.
Now, like, I'm a big fan of this. This is going to be great. Sarah's new segment.
A new segment.
Brand new, on it for all this. It's a new show.
Yes. But, you know, I just really think there's so many questions people have about life these days, isn't there? Like, and you know, whether that's political or environmental or just...
Who's my dad?
Relationship.
Normal
why
stuff.
Is the sky blue? Things like that. You know, and then it's like we really want alternative ways of looking at things and stuff. So often I think kids provide some real magical insights into everyday questions that we have. So I think, you know, really we need to turn the tables and ask the kids for the answers.
I think it's a great idea. I don't know what happened there. That was
that's hip hop.
I put you wrong button.
That's hip hop. I'm in your face.
I'm not gonna lie to you. Ask a kid. Now look, I think this is a great idea. Ask a kid. So Sarah, for this week, what have we gone with? What kid for starters, what kids?
Okay,
kid,
so kids? This week we're speaking to Minnie, who is 10 years old, and Summer, who is 13 years old. And you know, I was just we've heard like we're often hearing a lot of talk from Buckingham Palace in the news, and it is definitely a nice novelty for us to have the royal family and stuff, but I just wondered what like two random kids would think about what their take is on the royal family. Nice. So let's see what they had to say.
This generation rules the nation with version.
Do you think we should have a royal family?
No, because the royal family are the same as everyone else. It's just because ages and ages ago all their ancestors were rich or whatever, then they have all the money and they get to do what they want, and it's not fair.
What do you think, Summer?
No, because they're just rich for the sake of it. I don't hear news one day, oh, the royal family gave £10 million to the Ebola crisis or something like that. And I'm just like, if you're not really helping anyone, there's no point having a royal family. Because, yes, maybe it makes the UK unique or whatever, but there can always be a really famous, rich heritage in Britain. But without them, it's not like the UK is going to collapse.
Can I just say, for starters, I was really expecting, like, you know, something very like, well, I think that the royal family should, but that was like very deep. Articulate, very deep, very insightful.
I thought it was going to be, well, you know, I loved the Christmas special. It was really funny.
I really did.
I like her purse.
Wow.
Ralph Little's brilliant.
And the prince is so cute.
Yeah.
No, these kids, they were bringing it. They were like, okay, let's just usher them into the house.
Ask a kid or is this ask a special correspondent?
Yeah. Yes.
From my lord.
Can we get some stupid kids for next week?
Yeah.
Just to balance it out.
Yeah, it is.
Listen, if you've got a stupid child or if you are one yourself,
text us.
Take your stupid fingers, put them on your big stupid phone.
Take the phone out your mouth, for starters.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, I thought, I was like, whoa, they actually made some really valid points.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you doing to benefit the UK? But, you know, like, I think there is, like, some novelty. Like, they do a lot for tourism,
yeah, tourism
people say.
Yeah, tourism's a big one.
But I think we
Prince Andrew's providing a lot of excitement
entertainment.
And entertainment in the papers.
Well, we definitely need a royal family, because in Australia we would have no one else tonight.
Yeah, that's true.
Because who would win? Prime Minister Tony Abbott, he's not going to knight an Australian.
You know what, though, this year, well, when was it? Was it in December? I don't know. But they released this new list of, like, OBEs and stuff that they had handed out. And I was seals it, that this meal means nothing. I'm sorry. Like, props to, what's his name, SBTV dude and everything. Like, I have
Jamal.
Utter respect for him.
Yeah.
But that's a bit of a stretch.
It's a bit mad, isn't it? Like, when you start seeing, like, James Corden and stuff like that.
Just the royal family wanting to be down with the people. And they're like, okay, let's use your popularity to stay relevant. So
It's a bit desperate, isn't it?
Yeah, I was like, come on, man.
And the Australian one, how are you even allowed to knight anybody?
I don't know
that kind of authority.
No, but we have I'm just going to put it out there. We have a very dumb prime minister. I'm not a fan of Tony Abbott at all. He says some very stupid things. Like, he recently said when we had Kate Wills come over, I believe. This is, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm wrong a lot. You know, learn this as we get together each Tuesday, 4 till 6, right? Mm-hmm. But it's some people over, I believe they were from the royal family, and it was like, it's so great being colonised by the UK, because there really was just nothing here before then.
Did they actually
and everyone
say
was
that?
Like, what are you? You're just discrediting 40,000 years of our real cultural
that
history.
That guy scares me.
Yeah, I know. So
he's Tony Adams inspired some brilliant T-shirts. Though, last time I was in Melbourne, I saw so many people. I'm not talking about like punks on skateboards. I'm like respectable people, family people.
Yeah.
I saw a woman with a pram, with her little baby in the pram, her two kids. And clearly on the school run and whatnot, you know, taking them home. They're happy little kids and whatnot. She looked like, if I had to judge, I'd say, you know, over here, probably call her like a guardian reader, you know, sort of middle class, whatnot.
Champagne sandwich.
She just had a black T-shirt, massive white letters that said, fuck Tony Abbott.
Oh, look at that.
That's so Aussie.
Perfect harmony.
I've got to say, Aussies are good at swearing.
They are good at the foul mouthness.
Well, yeah, no, but he is a pretty scary dude.
No, yeah, absolutely. Look, we can all agree, nay on Tony Abbott. Nay on Tony Abbott, but yay or nay to a royal family. Like, where are we going to sit on this? Where are you going? I'm going to say yes, just because, look, I still get a bit excited by it.
I saw the Queen hunting once. In fact, in the same weekend, I bumped into Sarah Love in a field in Aberdeenshire. Same weekend. I took my kids to a little place called Colgarth, which is like a next little town along, and there's a little castle there. We heard about it, went to visit. It was actually just a turret in the ground. It was rubbish with a little stairwell that was about 6 feet high. That was it.
Yeah.
And they had a tour guide and everything. You go through the one door.
Yeah,
and then up the steps, and that is the tour. That's it. You get to the top of the turret, and that's it, right? And she was trying to big it up. So I was bored. We were all bored, you know, to tears. And then I heard, and then we were like, oh, what's that? Is it a hunt? It was a hunt. And the tour guide goes, you like this? It's the royal hunt. And I looked out, and it was Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth, right, in this kind of horse-drawn carriage thing.
Packing the heat.
Yeah, the Queen had a rifle, heat. Bro. Ready to go. Corgis running everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm not making this shit up.
No, I believe
it. They have
it.
A trail of blood behind
the Queen's
them.
Technically more G'd up than me.
Exactly.
She's actually bucked off shots.
The Queen's new episode
held
of
a gun,
Full
but
Moon.
I've never shot
you rapped about potentially
I rap about
bucking
that shit all day long, bro.
She's living it. She's about that lifestyle.
I got more gun sounds than you can deal with, man.
She's for real.
Sarah, what do you reckon? Yeah, and I, royal family?
Well, like Minnie, 10 years old, said, they're just the same as everyone else. It's just their ancestors or whatever had like loads of money in it.
Look, they're just the same, but better. Just the same, but better. All right, well, look, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us on 020-3397-1683, or you can text 07-860-01-7300, or as simple as tweeting at FUBAR Radio and let us know. Let us know what you think, yay or nay, on the royal family. We'd love to hear your opinion. Take your calls up next. You're on FUBAR with Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Ghostface Killer, Be Easy, Big.
Illness.
Big churn. You're on FUBAR with Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. And, getting some good emails in here. We got some heated responses. Leon from Halifax saying, great first show. Loving the music, loving the everything. Leon, we love you.
Big up Halifax.
Yeah.
Love a bit Halifax. Mm.
Now, ask a kid. Big fan of this. Big fan of this, Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah Love, big
They're
fan of this.
Staring up the pot.
You got some smart kids in your family, no doubt about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had Minnie and Summer's opinion on the royal family. I think that it's not that they dislike them personally or anything. Mm. I think they're just like, well, they're the same as everyone else, but it's just not fair because they can do whatever they want. And I think a lot of us feel like that sometimes about them. I have had the Green Party recently are saying they want to make the Queen live in the council house.
That would be the best reality TV show.
And then there's
in history.
Like Stonebridge Estate into Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
You know, just mix
Incredible.
Things up a bit.
I reckon that would be really
That'd
fun.
That'd be sick.
Look, I'm probably down with the monarch in Australia. I'm always being quite fond of. Do you know what? If anything for me, like growing up in Australia, even though I was born in Wales, so, you know, I'm from the UK, but growing up in Australia, having the, you know, always keeping an eye on the royal family, whatever, you know, randomly, but it kind of, gave me some kind of affiliation to the UK.
Mm.
My whole life growing up was kind of like, oh, that's a part of my history.
Yeah.
It's my upbringing. So I've always felt some affiliation.
And
to,
I think across the Commonwealth, people feel like that. Even like if you go to like Papua New Guinea or, you know, people are like, hey, that's our Queen.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like I say, you know, I totally understand, you know, what the kids were saying about what do they really do? What do they do?
I think that kind of sums it up, doesn't it? They get a lot better press.
Yeah, exactly. They get knighted for starters. They get all sorts of stuff. Yeah, they absolutely do. Yeah, so we threw it out to you guys as well. You can email us in tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com or tweet us at FUBARradio as well. You know, we're asking yay or nay. Are you down with the royal family? What do you think? Unknown sender, interesting name. Or maybe it's unknown from sender. I don't know which is suburb out here, but it says down with Prince Andrew for sure. Whoa!
He's taking it to the streets!
And that's obviously why he's unknown sender.
Yeah.
We've also got Darren from Joburg. How about that? He says, I think the royal family are a part of the great British culture, and therefore a part of every one of us. Let's look back to the birth of Prince George, the royal wedding, Diamond Jubilee, pirates all over the country, parties.
Pirates.
Freudian slip right there.
Let's
keep it real. Pirates, straight up.
Yeah.
That kid's life's going to be crazy, though, right? I mean, to be
Nightmare.
A royal baby in 2015,
Nightmare.
You know?
But that's the thing with being famous. It's like there's nothing you can do to ever make it stop.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like but if you're a welder, you can suddenly go, you know, actually, I want to be a journalist now and just change careers. Nothing you can do to make that stop. So someone like this poor baby, it's like his life is already set.
Are they going to be able to stop him, like, getting on Twitter and shit? You know what I mean?
they're kind of trying to do that with Obama's daughter, innit, after she released a picture on Instagram or something in the Joey Badass record label
serious?
T-shirt. And then everyone was like, oh, and apparently now the FBI are all
that
like,
family's way too hip-hop, man.
Yeah,
you just some things you just got to leave alone. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, do you remember that when he first got in office and stuff, and there was a big deal about Jay-Z backing him up, and he was talking about how he how he discovered Jay-Z. Because he asked for a jogging playlist from his assistant, and his assistant just gave him like Jigga's whole back catalog, and he got into
it. She was like, "You're black, have this."
But you know what his assistant's name is? You know what his assistant's name is? You know, Buddy Love.
Oh, yes!
No.
Buddy Love.
That's so mad. That's another one of those real names that could be hip hop names.
Yeah, I heard one the other day, actually. You see, Man United played Cambridge in the FA Cup on Saturday, and the manager of Cambridge is called Richard Money. Which is he's basically Dick Dollars.
Dick Money, yeah, Dick Dollars.
Dick.
Son.
I like that. We've got Dan on the line from Hackney. Dan, what do you say, mate? Royal family, yay or nay?
Remember your representative.
It's a yay for me, I'd say. Definitely, yeah. So I've been listening to the different opinions. It's definitely a yay for me. It's the royal family, man. And also, like you just said about the Commonwealth, we used to run most of the world because of the royal family.
Were they good times for the rest of the world?
I think it depends who you speak to.
I'm not quite sure of it that way. But I'll tell you what I was thinking. Okay, say we got rid of the royal family. What do you do with Buck Powell after? What do you do with all the, you know, who has Buck Powell? Do you knock it down for affordable housing? What do you do?
Underground rave.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's
yeah.
not a yeah. underground yeah. rave. You're getting shot everywhere. Look at Fabric. He's got sniffer dogs out the front. Yeah.
That's what the kids are into now, isn't it? Bandos. That's what they call them. Hit a bando. Be the ultimate bando.
See, that's how I know I'm old. I didn't know what you were talking about.
Hey, Dan, can I ask you though? Is this something like your family? Did you grow up with your family always, you know, thinking and saying positive things about the family?
I'm not really sure. Actually, my mum doesn't like the royal family. Actually, my dad does. My mum doesn't. So I'm not really sure. Maybe I'm just against what my mum said. But I like it, man. It brings up the tourists. What else will the Asian people and all the American people going to come over to England to visit?
Well, you know, the reality.
It's not the winner.
But the reality is like, come on, UK, we are killing it culturally. Like, this is I was in Cambodia last year DJing, and I met a dude from China there, and he was just like saying, yeah, when I was in London, I felt like I was in the centre of the world. Like, this is the most interconnected city.
Well, that's why we've got Greenwich Mean Time. We're 0.0.
Yes, you know, but this is, and yeah, that's definitely a result of the Commonwealth as well. But, you know, this is like a place, a melting pot of so many different, best of everything happening in the world has to come here, and it's nothing to do with the royal family. Like, the best in theatre, the best in art, the best in music, you know, so I just feel all that I mean is, like Summer was saying, we'd still have a wealthy, rich heritage and culture going on here that would attract people anyway.
Yeah. Well, basically,
it brought you over anyway, didn't it?
I just wanted to get closer. I can see it from here. I can see it from here, my binoculars.
Yeah.
Hey, actually, going back to what you were saying before about a reality show, Doc, you were saying about a reality show of the Queen living in a council flat. We got a tweet at FUBAR Radio from Lady Stardust saying, I think that the Queen... she just lives as a normal person because she has no important role to play, in my opinion. So I think, taken from Lady Stardust as well, she wants to see that reality show commissioned.
Oh, my God. You know that would be the biggest programme in UK history.
Bigger than Celebrity Big Brother?
Every network would be down.
Every person in the UK is pro this programme apart from her. See, she's a hater.
Why is she cock-blocking? You know? Everybody wants to see this shit.
Yeah, she's like, no, I will wave.
All right, Dan, thank you so much for the call and for your opinion.
Cheers, guys. Have a good one.
There you go. So how do we come out of this? Ultimately, general consensus is yay, nay, we're sitting in the middle on the fence.
I think general consensus is they are the Illuminati, so they'll decide.
They're all lizards.
I'll tell you what, I would like to see that show, that Queen living in a council flat reality show, Celebrity Big Brother, just knock
Wouldn't
it right
it be
off.
Amazing?
Knock it right off.
You'd love to see the inner workings of that family. But, you know, keep your tweets coming to us at FUBAR Radio, and maybe you have a question that you would like to ask the kids, because the kids have some interesting answers really that are going to stir the pot up, so make sure you hit us up on the email too with any questions or shout outs or whatever. You can email us at tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com as well.
Amazing. You're on FUBAR with Sarah Hugh and Doc Two. It's always fun to do that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Foreign Beggars featuring Skinny Man there. Hold on. You're on FUBAR with Sarah, Hugh and Doc Two. Sarah, pretty excited. We are probably about 15 minutes away or so from you doing a live mix for us in the studio.
Oh, my God.
The worldwide wrecking ball, one woman superstar, DJ Sarah Love.
That's me.
Wow.
That's pretty exciting. What are you going to be doing for that? Can you give us a little...
Well, I thought, you know, I'm thinking each week maybe I can put a little theme to the the mixes that I'm doing, so it's not just like a bunch of random tunes. But last week I was DJing in San Francisco, and I thought I'd bring a bit of flavour of how we were getting down in California for you today, because you've got some very cool, open-minded, soulful people out there. So I thought I'd bring a bit of a taste of what I spent in Cali last week.
I remember making the mistake of thinking that because San Francisco was in California, as you beautifully sang, that it was going to be anywhere near warm. I went in September with just T-shirt and shorts and stuff.
Yeah, it's not quite that warm.
No, I literally had to borrow clothes.
Is it a little like perception from coming from the UK that anywhere else California is going to be warm? Anywhere else you go out of the UK is going to be warm. Doesn't matter. Iceland, warm. Exactly. Supermarket chain, warm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, it's quite mild. They've got a beautiful climate there. But yeah, you do need a coat in the winter.
The weather is strange there, though, right?
It never snows.
Like at 4 o'clock every day, this weird mist would roll down from the hills.
It is funny, isn't it?
And envelop the city.
It's beautiful.
And it was such a strange thing that I think it made a lot of the locals quite strange. Like they all kind of talk to themselves in San Fran.
No, you know what that is.
Like normal looking people just going, shoes, I've got to get some shoes.
Well, it's a big fashion designer spot, isn't it, San Fran? I hear it's very trendy, a lot of cool
stuff. It's very funky. I'd describe San Francisco as it's like a European version of America. But then at the same time, it contains all the paradoxes of America. So it's like crazy, crazy level of homelessness, crazy, crazy level of drug abuse. So you're seeing a lot of cracked out people on the street.
But dressed well.
Well-dressed cracked out. That's important.
Really good taste.
I'd say it's the spiritual home of the hipster, in fact.
You know what? I would actually say the first place I ever saw a hipster was Australia. Right. So really, I would say the spiritual home of the hipster is Australia. And probably Melbourne.
Joseph.
Hey, that hurts. If I was a hipster parent, I'm going to call my girl Beard. Would that be weird? I think there's some pretty weird names for kids these days. I've got some hipster friends that have given some, you know, their names quite interesting to their kids.
Like Almond.
Yeah, stuff like that. No,
Quinoa.
Activated Almond. Activated Almond. What about Nutella? Did you hear about that?
I didn't until earlier. That's amazing. Can't believe that. But was the child being named after Nutella?
Yeah, so basically, I mean, this is a family that really loves a hazelnut spread. And we all do. We all do. And this took place in France. But obviously, you know, Nutella is huge around the world. It's especially big in France as well. So on the basis that this child would be bullied for life,
they were like, yes, that's the name we want.
A French court has actually stopped the parents from being allowed to name their baby girl on those grounds. And apparently this is
of bullying.
Yeah, this is no precedent. It's happened many, many times. The precedent was actually in 1993. When a couple wanted to call their daughter Fraise, which means strawberry, and a judge ruled against it. So that was the precedent. And since then, it's sort of spiraled out of control into the rest of Europe, fascinates me.
Quickly, did you say Fraise?
Fraise.
Like as in P-H-R-A-S-E?
No,
I was going to say, because I've got a mate who's a rapper, thinks he's pretty thugged out from Melbourne, called Fraise. Yeah, I really hope that he's actually called AKA Strawberry.
Well, he's not allowed to go to France, for starters. Let me tell you a little bit about the rest of the world on the basis of this precedent. Various countries have set up their own little laws regarding names. In Iceland, you can be called Elvis, but you can't be called Carolina, which I think is fair enough. Okay. In New Zealand, much more importantly,
I love New Zealand.
You can't be called Yeah Detroit, Ovs, but you can be called Yeah Detroit.
Okay.
But you can be called.
I'm really unfair.
Well, that it's really unfair.
You can be called Number 16 Bus Shelter.
That's a popular name out there, actually.
Similarly, in Germany, of course, you can't be called Matty, but Legolas is a goer. Right.
But
Sweden,
this is by law, are you saying?
This is by law. These are people who've either tried to name their children or they've gone through deed poll to change their names, and the legal system has said no. For example, in Sweden, very open-minded country, you want to be called Metallica, that's absolutely fine. That precedent's been long set. However, if you want to be called BRF XXCCXX MNPCCCC LLL MNNPRXCLMNCKSSQLBB111116, you haven't got a chance in hell.
Oh.
That's been tried.
It's cold as ice.
Tested.
Well,
failed.
I mean, the thing is, you get a name like that as well. Apart from the fact it's going to be horrible to sign anything, you're going to get a lot of shit. And that's what I heard about these kids that were going to be called Nutella. Like, they judge... completely discredited that ever being able to happen because he was the female or male judge, I'm not sure, but they were saying that look, the kids are going to get so much shit if they're called Nutella.
But
it's
a bad
idea.
But
my name's Hugh. And how much shit I got? Hugh did a poo in his shoe and he spewed. And it's like, shut up, teacher!
Whatever your name is.
Whatever your name is, you're going to get it.
Exactly.
There's a friend of mine, called Dan Wood, and I remember him saying, you know, I want to give my son a real. You know, a solid name that nobody's going to take the mick out of, you know? And he went for Arthur. And I was like, so, like, they're just going to call him Semi.
Yeah, exactly. Or do you want a full pint or an Arthur?
An Arthur would.
You know, like, absolutely, yeah. Is that a full erection or just an Arthur? It looks like Arthur erection, Arthur. Is it? Or a full? I can't tell.
I was just looking at India don't really have any issue with any names. In fact, that quite happily someone's called themselves Lenin, Stalin, Brezhnev, and Khrushchev.
Props.
Which is awesome. But what it got
That's
me...
That's what I'm saying, props.
What it reminded me of is possibly the most gangster thing that happened this week. Is the Indian Prime Minister went to meet Barack Obama. Prime Minister.
Obama's over there, isn't he?
Yeah, incredible dude, this guy, Narendra Modi. Because when he met with Barack over there, he chose to wear a suit, a pinstripe suit, yeah. Right? But on closer inspection, Barack realized that it's just his name a million times in the pinstripe.
As in his own
Narendra
name.
Narendra Modi, yeah.
Gangster.
Which is so G'd up.
He's like, recognize!
Barack just said, the guy's a style icon. What can I say? Do you know what I mean?
Barack was envious.
Of course he was.
You know, he was like, damn, I wish I had the balls to do that.
My name, bitch.
That's amazing. Hey, guys.
Know my name.
Talking about balls, right? Mm. Up next, I've got a really, really irrational fear that I want to tell you guys about, thus proving that I am ballless. Completely ballless. But I want to share it with you up next and just ask you guys if you think it's a little bit crazy or a little bit weird. Yeah, you're on FUBAR with Sarah, Hugh and Doc 2. You're on FUBAR with Sarah, Hugh and Doc 2. And that was actually a Melbourne producer. Goes by the name of Grammatic. That was him versus the Beatles, Don't Let Me Down.
Nice.
There you go. And obviously I am from Melbourne. Well, I was born in Wales, but grew up in Melbourne. Only just moved here a few months ago. And I have developed what is quite a serious irrational fear that I never knew I had in my life until I moved to London.
Oh, Hugh.
Yeah, I know. But it's weird. Like the first few times it happened, I was like, oh, that's bizarre. That's kind of weird. And then sort of like, you know, might have tweeted about it. Ha, ha, ha. And now I actually realize this is actually getting into a bigger problem than I thought. And it's kind of strange.
Okay.
Really, really weird. Now, obviously.
You have my support.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. So this is safe. We're in a safe place. The studios are safe. walls of emotion are safe.
A padded room.
Safe. Yeah. It is kind of, it is padded. So here's the deal. Obviously, London, there's a lot of pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pigeons in London.
The flying rats.
The flying rats, exactly. So I have never experienced really, say, coming to places like, say, Trafalgar Square or something like that. I've never really experienced being in the midst of so many pigeons everywhere, right? So basically the first time that this happened was I was really scared that one was kind of going to fly into me and kill me by going beak first into my sternum. So that was the first thing that happened. That was the whole thought process, was seeing these pigeons coming towards me with shit. This thing is going to go straight into my sternum and kill me.
Yeah.
And that's a really fucking embarrassing way to die. Okay? But then it's happened a few times since then until just recently I realised I am now scared of pigeons, that one is going to fly into my sternum and kill me, specifically my sternum.
There must be a real word for it as well, like pigeonophobia or something.
Yeah.
Word for pigeon and phobia. That's how they tend to do it.
Yeah.
Pigeonous.
But this is quite serious. Like, this is actually, I am now, like, this is a fear of mine.
Yeah.
That this
Maybe
is
Wales is the only option for you, dude.
Yeah.
No, Wales are way bigger than
pigeons. You have to phone this
pigeons.
In every week.
Oh, go back to Wales. Oh, right.
No, I wouldn't say I'm afraid of pigeons, but they do gross me out because they are basically flying rats.
Irrational fears. I mean, there's that as
so
well.
So I'd say that's kind of irrational to be afraid of.
Like, I met a girl recently who is like petrified of bananas.
Wow.
Petrified. Literally.
What happens if she sees a banana?
She freaks out. She goes into almost into fetal, and that's if you just offer her a banana, she'd be like, oh,
whoa.
And I we Googled it, and apparently, it's quite a common thing.
So she'd actually genuinely that you pleased to see her rather than had a banana in your pocket. Oh. That's the one time it would actually work better.
Why are you so scared of my dick? This is weird. Well, really, I'm happy to see you, obviously, and you're scared of my dick. Why? Do you guys have any like a weird irrational
fears? Well, recently I realised talking to my sister that I have a fear of getting cold. And I've been able to trace it back. I've thought long and hard about this to find the roots of this cause. But I think it's from having an African mother, but growing up in the UK, who's like layered us up as kids, you know, with so many layers on that I couldn't bend any of my limbs or anything. So, so now I'm just like super sensitive to the cold. And then my sister looked it up and it's called foidophobia.
Foid?
Or something like that.
Doesn't
anyway.
Sound Latin at all. Thus
no, but like foie is like cold in French, isn't it? So yes, it's cultured. But, yeah, so I think I do. I am constantly like thinking about, oh, but I've got to have a layer in my bag in case it gets cold. And it's just quite impractical, you know, thing that I have to constantly take into consideration. But I wouldn't say it terrifies me.
Yeah.
But I do put probably more thought into it than the average British person who doesn't seem to feel the cold on my level.
Duck Brown, pigeons, bananas, cold. What are you scared of? Tell us.
The thing I'm really scared of is deep water, but I don't think that's irrational. I think a lot of people have that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a very disappointing stereotype for a black male as well, you know, that I don't swim.
Can you swim at all?
No, I actually did my first few strokes last August in my life.
And
it was absolutely terrifying.
Do you know, you should surf. I've got a mate back in Melbourne who is an amazing surfer. I can't swim to save his life. And he's
really?
Like, yeah, leg rope. When it snapped one time when it was like 8-9 foot, massive surf, snapped his leg rope, nearly drowned. He's like, 2 leg ropes. I was like, dickhead, learn to swim.
There was
crazy.
A kid in my school, in secondary school, who had a fear of cotton wool.
Oh my God. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Now, that is irrational. Why?
In the adult world, if someone said that to you and was just like, no, Jesus, it just makes me feel really sick, you'd be like, oh man, I'm sorry. I'm just going to chuck this away right now. And take that. When you're talking about 14-year-olds,
like, yes!
We were like,
yes!
We've got some weird shit with cotton wool. And we waited for the next science lesson where we were doing the Petri dish with the cotton wool and the little experiments and stuff. And we got entire rolls of that shit and started trying to wrap him in it.
Yeah.
He vomited everywhere and then he passed out. Most normal people would be like, this has gone too far. We were just like, result.
What can we do next? going home plotting plans.
Can I ask you though, like, is that something you would think or would hope just children would do because children are mean? Because
I can't see adults doing it. I mean, there are some idiotic adults. Have you got a confession coming up?
Yeah.
All right. So remember I was telling you before I met a girl recently who was petrified of bananas. Okay. Now, we came across this. Well, this is actually on set for something. We're filming something, right? And we're at lunch where there was a bowl of bananas. She was like, get them away. And I was like, whoa, what happened? Just by absolute coincidence that afternoon on the same set, I saw a guy dressed in a goddamn banana suit.
Wow.
And I was like, please, sir, can we work together? This is going to be really fun. And I got him to like jump around a corner and scare her. And it scared the shit out of her. And I felt really
cruel.
Isn't that really bad? It's really. I felt really bad about it, but not bad enough to
share. Like, what if her bowels went or something like that?
Again, just what did you say before? Just a win. What did you say? What did you say before?
Result.
All right.
That's so cruel.
You're on FUBAR with Sarah Hugh and Doc to Roos Manuva. Witnessed our fitness, and we are not far away at all from getting Sarah Love, DJ Sarah Love, do a live mix in the studio. You're on FUBAR Radio with Sarah, Hugh, and Doc 2. It's our first show, Mr. Roots Manoeuvre right there.
Another UK anthem.
Hey, now. No, we're quite lucky on this show. We've got, obviously, legendary comedian Doc Brown. We've
Thank
got
you.
A complete That's dickhead Australian, Hugh Joseph. But we've also got a superstar DJ, DJ Sarah Love, which is great. When the three of us got together to put this show idea together, we were like, what's some stuff we can do that's cool? Let's put Sarah to work for us.
Here we go.
Let's get her to do live mixes in the studio.
Let's get our money's worth out of this goal.
Absolutely. So this is great. Every week, we're going to get a live mix from you in the studio. This is great.
Yeah, and I'm trying to make it themed every week, so I thought I've just come back from DJing in California, so I play you a couple flavours of some of how our party was getting down out there in San Francisco. So I hope you guys enjoy it. It's going to be something nice and funky for you for your drive home.
Amazing. Here Sick. We go. DJ Sarah Love live in the FUBAR studios. Sarah Love live mix in the studio. You're on FUBAR Radio with Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Sarah Love,
that's right.
How are you I gotta ask, how did you go? Because this is, I just found out outside in the studio that you're the first person to ever use those titles.
Yeah, so I feel quite proud about that. Are you hearing me? Yeah, and also,
DJs,
I've never
DJs
actually...
no more, man. Yeah. Like, you have turntables in a studio that I've never used.
And I've never seen this mixer before in my life. I've never seen these CDJs before, which I don't, I'm not sure they're fully compatible with me. But but yes, I feel very proud that we're breaking new ground here by actually bringing some actual DJing to the set.
It's true.
Absolutely. I'm really excited about getting you to do a live mix.
Yes, let's utilize our skills, Hugh.
Yes. Well, why don't we put Rapid Doc Brown? Let's utilize your skills too. How can we use you?
Yes.
Let's use you.
Oh, here's what I was thinking, right, for next week, yeah, because obviously, like, this is FUBAR Radio with Sarah and Hugh, and who else? Ooh, what do you know? It's Doc 2, and I got a new challenge for me and for you, the listener dudes. Check it out. What you do is hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, or whatever. Give us any topic you want, dumb or clever, and next week I'll have a little rhyme all about it. Maybe if you're quick enough, we'll even do it now. Uh-huh. Shit, I can spit and keep it tight like a wedding ring. The name is Doc Brown, and I can rap about anything.
Oh, that's right, that's right, that's right. Get down in here.
Right, no, we gotta do this. You're down to do this?
Yeah, I'm down, man.
Alright, next show, here we go. We're just about out of here. We've got about 40 seconds left of the show. Next show, tweet us
at FUBAR some Radio.
Tweet us some subjects you want Doc to rap about.
Yeah, dumb or clever, preferably dumb.
Amazing, and we'll do that. Doc can rap about anything. We'll kick that off live. Next week, it's the first show. Guys, we're nearly done. We've got 30 seconds left.
Incredible.
Sarah, Hugh and Doc 2, the first ever show. We're going to be here and FUBAR every Tuesday, 4 to 6 p.m. for the drive home.
Yes, and it's been an absolute pleasure being here with you. Make sure you get in touch with us in between the show to TuesdayDrive@FUBARradio.com as well. We would love to hear from
you. And thanks for everybody who got in touch today, man. Yeah. You made us feel very welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. We did. We also had Sam Hutt send us a text as well. Can't remember what it was about, but Sam, good on you for texting,
yeah,
mate.
Thanks,
we really
Sam.
Appreciate it. We're all about it, and thank you very much for listening, and we will catch you guys right here on FUBAR next Tuesday, 4 to 6 p.m. as I said. Later.
Peace.